What's going on? Alex Pardo here, and I invite you to listen to a masterclass interview here with my friend, also a coaching client, one of our Ascend members, Mr. Josh Bacon. Dude is an absolute rock star out of the Philadelphia market. And, you know, Josh comes from humble beginnings. He used to cut his grandfather's grass, you know, early on in his childhood. And you know, eventually, as he got older, he ended up getting a job in door-to-door sales, and then he transitioned to work for Verizon as a salesperson. Then he ended up starting a freight company with a friend, but realized that that company was more for his friend. It wasn't really his, and he always kind of had the desire to go off and do his own thing, got into real estate, and you're about to listen to, you know, just a very interesting and inspiring story about somebody who didn't give up, somebody who wanted, you know, wanted more for his life and for his family. And, you know, somebody that now is not only very successful in his own right, but that many other successful entrepreneurs and real estate investors go to him for advice and for coaching because he's an action taker, and he's somebody who puts others first, but just goes about the business of doing what he's got to do to get what he wants and to hit his goals, and somebody who's just experienced a tremendous amount of growth in a very short period of time. So I think many of you will be able to relate to his story and just his path and his journey, and I trust that you can draw just valuable nuggets, or as I like to joke with him, his name is Josh Bacon. So in Ascend, we say, you know, he's always dropping bacon bits, aka little golden nuggets that that can have a profound impact on people's businesses and on their life as well. So with that being said, let's transition into episode 506 with my man, Josh Bacon.
You're listening to Flip Empire, the show committed to helping real estate entrepreneurs who want to build their empire without sacrificing their life. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
All right, welcome back to the Flip Empire Show. Got an exciting show planned for you guys today because I got just a really good friend of mine, somebody very fortunate to coach as well, part of our Ascend Mastermind family and community. Gentleman by the name of Josh Bacon. You may not have heard of him, but you're about to learn a lot because this guy is an absolute stud, incredible human being, awesome real estate investor, and he's got a heart for giving. You know, he's got so much value to add. And so with that said, my man, I'm excited to have you on the show, brother.
Man, I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, well, you know, it's super long overdue. I should have had you on the show a while back. It's been incredible to just watch your growth as an entrepreneur, as a man, as a real estate investor. I know you're building your business, and it's just, you know, proud to call you a friend and coaching client. So
I appreciate that. I wasn't going to give you a hard time for the delay, but I appreciate you having me on nonetheless.
There you go. I would expect you to give me a hard time, man. Just like I hold you accountable and give it to you, I expect it back. So Josh, with that said, brother, why don't we, you know, for people that might not be connected with you on social media or know who you are, you know, you're from the Philly market. You're a very, very successful wholesaler in that market. People know you very well there. For those of you who might not know who you are, why don't you kind of take us back? We don't have to get into like a long, drawn out backstory, but what were you doing prior to real estate? Tell us a little bit about yourself and then ultimately how you transitioned into this game.
Cool. So I kind of will take it way back because it actually starts there. So when I was a kid, I used to spend a lot of time with my grandpa, and we used to shoot the breeze all the time. He lived about 30 seconds from me. I cut grass, all that stuff like that. And he owned a handful of rental. And, you know, as I got older, I'd always ask him questions like, hey, man, how come you always have money and you don't work? And he spent most of his day walking across town for a few hours and then sitting in the park for a few hours. Then he talked to his buddies. And I always thought that was pretty cool. So I wanted to emulate him. And he always would say, I own stuff. And he would use more colorful language than that.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. So fast forward, you know, he passed away at the when I graduated high school. So I got into college. I took a job doing door-to-door sales, selling pest control. Okay. And I was not good. And I learned a lot of valuable lessons taking that job, though. So one of which was, you know, you can't allow people's fears to project on you. You kind of got to like put them off to the side. And I had a lot of people like, hey, you got a great job. You know, stay there. Don't do the commission thing. It's a scam. So then I did it, and I learned a lot of lessons about perseverance taking that job. And you had to knock 200, 300 doors a day for one person to say yes to if you were like really good. And I was not that. And while I was down there, I met a couple that was really interesting. They both were home. Most people weren't at that time. It was either one or none home. So I met this couple. They're telling me about, you know, they flip houses and, you know, they have rentals. They work from home. I thought that was so cool. And it reminded me of my grandpa. So they got me connected on BiggerPockets. I didn't do anything with it. Called a buddy. Was like, yo, we're flipping houses. And he was like, we don't have money for that. So I was like, yeah, you're right. So I graduate college. I go work for Verizon. I'm a young guy making 70, 80 grand a year, 22, 23 years old, and a sales job at Verizon. And then I got into management and was like, this sucks. It's corporate handcuffs. I can't do this. Mm-hmm. So me and that same buddy, we started a logistics company. He was kind of in the same boat at his job. He was already in the logistics field. I was kind of the sales guy. He was the ops guy. The whole time we did that job or that business, and he still runs it to this day. We got it up to seven figures, the whole nine. But the whole time I was there, I was malcontent because it wasn't my thing. It was his thing. And I always wanted to get into real estate. So fast forward, we're doing it for a couple of years. I started marketing for a wholesale deal, and it took me 9 months to get my first deal. And I was hooked ever since. So it was a short sale. I took my lumps and bruises along the way and have been ever since. But once I got that proof of concept, the game has changed for me. So I've been doing that ever since.
Dude, that's pretty crazy. Man, you and I have a lot in common. And I didn't even realize that because my first deal, as you probably know, was a short sale. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that your first deal was a short sale. And there's a lot to unpack in what you just said kind of in the intro part of the podcast. But you mentioned something that kind of jumped out at me. You said it took you 9 months to get your first deal. I find that when people get into this business, they have a false set of expectations. Sometimes they expect to have their deal in the first 30 days. And when that doesn't happen, they tend to give up, or they tend to complain, or just point the fingers at, you know, why this business doesn't work, or, you know, blah, 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 whatever. And then I have other people that they're persistent, but then they just don't see results after 3-6 months. You stuck with this for 9 months. Did you just inherently have that belief in yourself that you were going to make this happen? Or talk to me about your mindset as you were going down the path of getting your first deal.
Yeah. So it started off, man, I was writing stuff off on my computer and I was like folding letters on my ironing board that's back here. And, you know, I'd send them out. And the mindset was kind of, that's part of why the whole point of me bringing up during the door-to-door sales. So I was not great at it. I'm going to be honest, right? I was knocking every door and then it was just like, no, 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 yes. And it's like 200 times a day. And then one person says, yes, that's kind of hard. And then once we started the logistics company, it was much of the same. We knocked doors. We didn't have a marketing budget, so we pounded the pavement. And then once we started getting customers, it was like, okay, we can do this. And still to this day, they, you know, he still does that. So I kind of took that same approach. Is like, I'm just going to do this until I get a deal. I'm not going to quit until I get that deal. And if I get that deal and I don't like it from there, then I can make that decision. But that's kind of something that was instilled by my grandpa. Like, you can't just quit something. You actually got to follow
it. Yeah, I love it. So what I heard in so many words was that, like, you committed, you know, mentally you said, hey, I'm going to do this thing and I'm not going to look back. And I think that's where people falter is you. I think when you start anything, whether it's a business or whether it's your journey in health and fitness, let's say you want to lose weight or you want to get a six pack or you want to feel more energy, whatever that might be, or even a relationship that you want to improve, you're going to be met with resistance. Mm-hmm. It's just inevitable. The question is, are you mentally strong enough and are you going to persevere by that? You know, and do you have a big why? For you, you know that you didn't want to go back to the corporate world. You know, you knew the logistics business wasn't for you. That was your partner's thing and you were going to make it work. And I love the fact that you said, hey, I'm going to close a deal and then I'll reevaluate things. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's the right mindset to have. One other thing I want to kind of take a few steps back to, and I'm going to throw this up on the screen. You dropped a gem that I don't even think, you just kind of said it in passing and it hit me right between the eyes. You can't allow people's fears to project on you. You said that about a couple minutes ago. Elaborate a little bit.
Yeah. So my sophomore year of college, you know how they say, like, you shouldn't live life with regrets, right? So mm-hmm. Sophomore year of college was when I came back. Sophomore and junior year was when I came back from Virginia. And I was planning on quitting college because I was like, I'm doing this real estate thing. And, you know, I had allowed some family members to say, no, you should stick through it. You know, stay in college. I talked to a guy that was an agent. And at that time, I didn't know how to communicate what I wanted to do. And so I allowed their fears to hold me back. Mm-hmm. And so the reason I say you can't allow them to project on you is because I learned my lesson from that. And then when I left Verizon, I had similar family members who are like, hey man, you're making more than I've ever made in my lifetime. You got great benefits. You're stupid for leaving. And like, in my mind, it was more like I'd be stupid not to leave because I know I can already do it in the corporate setting. But if I don't ever make this attempt, I'm going to always have this what if feeling in the back of my mind. So once I learned that, you know, my sophomore year of college, I just kind of moved forward from there.
That's awesome. awesome. And you think that was something that you kind of draw back to your grandpa and just kind of the mindset he instilled in you?
I would say yes and no. He was kind of like pigheaded, and whatever he wanted to do, he did, right? So for me, some people don't appreciate that. Like he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. But to me, and you know, because I had a lot of conversations with him, I saw it as, hey man, you're doing what you want. Right. And you're not allowing what other people tell you to do that. So I always thought that was interesting. And I kind of, yes, I do kind of go back to that a lot.
Got it. Well, we're going to talk more about what your business looks like today. But before I even get there, when you look back, what year was this that you ultimately closed your first deal, which was a short sale?
Yeah. So I started marketing in 2016, July of 2016. And my first deal closed, like settlement table closing, May of 2017.
Okay. May of 2017. So not that long ago, but when you look back over the course of the last 4 years or so, what do you think you've learned the most since then? When you look back at like your journey, when you first got started, you know, what do you feel? How do you feel you've grown the most as an entrepreneur, as a real estate investor, when you kind of look back when you first got started?
Yeah, I would say two things. One is consistency. That's the biggest area of growth that I've had is consistency. The part of the reason why it took me 9 months is because, you know, sending 500 letters a week was kind of a pain in the butt to lick and fold 500 letters. So yeah. There's some months where I, instead of sending, you know, 2000 a month, I was sending 500, right? Because I just got tired of doing it. And then the other part of that is get out of your own way. So, you know, in 2017, so I'll kind of get a little bit into my real estate story. In 2017, I did my first three deals, made a decent amount of money, more money than I was making in the logistics business. And I got terrified and like clammed up about having to continue to market and just let that fear get in the way. And then I went to go work for a bigger wholesaler that's like a real big wholesaler. And yes, I learned a lot of sales skills, but I probably would be further along in my business if I didn't let that fear get in the way.
Okay, got it. Well, I'm going to throw this up, dude, because you continue to drop gems here. I want you to kind of zoom in a little bit. You said two things as far as the way that you've grown the most. Mm-hmm. Be consistent. And number two, get out of your own way. What has consistency, how has that played out as far as the level of success you've achieved in your business today? Because, man, I still remember, just to provide people with some background and context that most people don't know, I still remember you sending me, I think it was an email, mm-hmm. correct? I'm wrong. Sometime around 2017. And I don't specifically remember what you asked, but I'm fortunate. And I say fortunate because I'm grateful when people reach out to me that I don't know. That's one of the opportunities this podcast has afforded me, is connecting with really cool people. And I've been able to just develop the skill set to know, hey, somebody's serious and they're going to succeed because they're committed, versus somebody that's like, they're talking about it, or they're asking, you know, you could just tell they're not going to do anything with it. You just in the way they asked the question. And I didn't know you at the time, but what jumped out at me, I'm like, this guy's committed. Like, he really wants to make this work.
Yeah.
So talk about how consistency has had an impact on your business and where you are today.
Absolutely. So consistency for me, for, you know, just to be granular, marketing, that's a big thing about consistency, right? So you shut off, like, and I didn't realize that when I got into this business. Like, this might be a hot take, but it's not that intention. Wholesaling is not investing. You're running a business and you're running a sales and marketing business. So if you stop the marketing, you have no sales. So I had to learn that lesson the hard way. So now every single month, I know how much marketing I need to have out in order for my business to continue running.
Yeah.
If I stop that, it's not a good thing. So I just realized, like, you don't have to have the sexiest marketing piece. You don't have to have the sexiest message. You just have to be there the most consistent.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely love that. And what about consistency from a personal development perspective, from just everything else that's because you're 100% right. Once you turn off the marketing faucet, you know, you're in for a rough couple of months moving forward. You know, when people don't see results, I always say, okay, well, tell me what you've done the last 30, 60, 90 days. So you're 100% right as far as consistency with marketing. What about some of the other things? You know, your mental toughness, personal development, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's huge. So every day, you know, I'm a slow reader, so it takes me a little while, but 10 pages a day of some type of self-development. That's my target. That's what I hit. Some days I might read 5 in the morning, 5 at night, but the goal is 10 and I hit 10. And that's Monday through Friday. You know, and then also I feed my mind, like going to the gym instead of, you know, listening to music, I listen to podcasts, and I only give myself music Monday and Friday to start the week and to end week heavy. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm listening to either a podcast or I've been getting more into audiobooks and, you know, people that have done seminars and listening to their seminars. So I think feeding your mind with good content is very valuable, because that's really how you grow and get to where you want to go, in my opinion. Yeah.
Yep. No, I would agree with you. Well, the second thing you said was getting out of your own way. Somebody told me a while back, and it was, I think I heard it at a mastermind. It said, entrepreneurs need to learn how to get out of the way of the current that they create. And that's, you know, maybe just a different way to basically say what you're saying. You said it more succinctly. Talk about what you mean by get out of your own way.
Yeah. So when I first got started, I get leads that would come in and I'm like, I'm not going to call that seller because they're, you know, they sound like they're not really interested, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And basically what I was doing was I was making excuses of why I was afraid to call the seller. And then, you know, as I think part of it was going to work for somebody else that had a bigger kind of flow, that it was just like, you got to call everybody. Like people are going to posture. You know, there's a great book called Winning Through Intimidation that I highly recommend everyone read.
What's it called again?
Winning Through Intimidation by Robert Ring.
What's crazy? Oh, so that's the same guy from the 48 Laws of Power, I think it is, or the 48th.
I think that's Robert Green. Robert, this guy's a little the book's quirky, but talks about how, you know, you don't know what people are posturing you on, basically, and you got to get past that intimidation to get to where you want to go. And, you know, for a while, you know, I would go out there and a seller, they would say, hey, you know, I'd only sell if the price is right. And I wouldn't even call that seller back. Now it's like, call everybody back, have a conversation. Everybody's human. And at the end of the day, you don't know what their problems are. So when I say get out of your own way, that's what I mean, is you got to turn over every rock. And, you know, you're doing all the work, you might as well follow through. You know, to me personally, I don't think I'm that great. I mean, I don't think I'm better than anybody or anything like that. The only thing that I think that I might do differently than others is just show up. To me, that's 90% of the battle.
Yeah, man, I absolutely love that. Well, I would disagree with you. You are pretty great, dude. And I'm not saying that to blow smoke, man, because I personally know you and I know the kind of person you are. And like I said at the beginning, it's always so rewarding to just watch somebody grow over the course of the last year or two. And so you're certainly not a finished product. None of us are. I'm not, right? But you're aware of it. You're working on yourself, growing your business in the process. I do want to take a step back, though, before we keep talking about your business. You mentioned something that struck a chord with me, because I had a conversation with somebody today who reached out to me on social media. Somebody, again, that led with value. They started sending me storage leads. And, you know, we got into a conversation. They said, I really want to get into this wholesaling thing. My back's up against the wall. I need to make this happen. Hopped on the phone with her. Awesome person. And she asked me a question that I thought was really interesting. She says, do you think I'm going to make this happen one way or the other, but do you think I should go work for somebody for free, contribute value and learn the ropes that way? Or do you think I should just dive in and try to do this myself? And ultimately I told her there's no right or wrong answer there. And we got into a long conversation about that. You obviously decided to initially go work with someone. What was your thought process behind deciding to go that route?
All right. So my thought I wasn't in the right frame of mind during that thought process, to be honest with you. It was me being afraid of doing the marketing and realizing, like, I don't know what I'm doing as far as marketing was concerned.
Okay.
Or at least thinking I didn't know what I was doing. And my third deal ever, I went out to the property. Long story short, I didn't have a buyer's list or anything like that. And I had one guy come out. He's like, I'll give you $2,500 for it. Like, he'll pay me a $2,500 assignment fee. And I didn't have MLS access at the time or any of that stuff. And I was like, that just doesn't sound right. Because my first deal, I made $30,000. My second deal, I made $6,500. So $2,500 seemed wrong. So I listened to a podcast and happened to call that guy's sales agent and was like, hey, man, I got a deal. Do you have a buyer? I'll bring you guys, you know, we could split it 50-50. And they brought a buyer. We ended up making $43,000 on it. And I was just like, okay, there's something they're doing that I'm not. Mm-hmm. And once the opportunity opened and presented itself for me to be a part of that team, I was resistant on it at first. And then, yeah, after I had some time to think about it, I was like, okay, what happens if I go work there? And I do this a lot now. Like, what happens if I don't take the opportunity? I said to myself, what happens if I don't take it? And, you know, I'm still at the same place I am, versus if I take the opportunity, I work there for 2 years. I gave myself a goal. I get 2 years there and see what kind of growth I have at that point. So yeah. I think, you know, people can do whatever they want, but if you're working, it's got to be somebody that you align with, first of all. And the second part of that is, is they actually have to be doing this business. I wouldn't do it with somebody that like doesn't really know what they're doing. And it's kind of the blind leading the blind. Like, I mean, this guy's doing, you know, $6 to $8 million a year. So for me, it was like, okay, if I can kind of learn some sales stuff and all that, I'll do it.
Yeah. And were you an acquisitions manager? Is that right?
Yeah. So in that organization, you do acquisitions and dispositions. So you buy your own deals and you sell your own deals. The only thing that company provides you is the leads and obviously Podio, but you handle everything else from A to Z.
Which is pretty unique because I don't know many organizations out there that wholesale that, you know, basically combine both those roles, which for you, I think was a great thing because it exposed you to both sides of the business. How much did that feed into your confidence to go off and do this thing on your own?
It gave me all the confidence in the world. And, you know, for me, it was like, I didn't know either side when I first got started. I didn't know acquisition or disposition. And then, you know, 6 months in working there, I did more transactions and generated more revenue than I would have done on my own in like 4 years.
That's incredible.
You just get to skyrocket up the learning curve a lot. So I kind of might have a contrarian view. I actually do believe go work for somebody that's doing it, or at least go partner with somebody that's doing it. And then, you know, I think you should be clear up first of all. I think you should be clear like, hey, look, you know, I want to come work for you. I want to come learn from you, but I don't intend to be here forever.
Okay. That's really good, man. I can appreciate that transparency. And people might be thinking to themselves, well, they might not hire me or whatever the case might be. You got to lead with honesty and what your true intentions are, because you know, your reputation and your name and your word is, at the end of the day, that's your most valuable asset.
Agreed. Even when I left that organization, you know, I gave a 2 week notice. I was like, look, I left in October of 2019. So I was like, hey, I'll work until the end of the year, on board whoever needs to come on board. Like, I believe, like you just said, your reputation precedes you. So, you know, you got to do what's best, not only for you, but also what's right for you in the future as well.
Yeah, that's right. I've been on the other side, you know, where I've employed and I've had team members that maybe weren't as transparent, although I knew from just conversations and getting to know them that they had bigger goals and dreams. And I think, you know, your job as an entrepreneur, as a leader, is to cast a vision wide enough that other people's vision can fit within yours. But sometimes you're going to have somebody in your team that's such a talent and they're meant to do their own thing. And I think we shouldn't discourage that as entrepreneurs, as leaders, business owners. I think we need to uplift them. I think we need to help them. And if they go off and do your own thing, I mean, that's one of the questions that people ask me is like, well, aren't you training your competition? And yeah, you know, I used to think that many, many years ago, but somebody told me, you know, collaboration over competition, and you need to look at them as potential partners. How do you do more together while still supporting their dreams and their goals? You know, so I don't know if you got any thoughts on that, but
I do. And I don't necessarily agree with the whole training your competition thing. This is just my personal belief.
Okay.
Everybody learns something, right? It's your duty as a good human being to teach somebody if they want to learn, right? If they come to you and say, hey, I want to learn something, that's your obligation to be like, hey, look, this is what I learned. And then you can kind of do what you want from there. So if somebody came and said, hey, Josh, I want to work for you, great. You know, if they said, hey, Josh, I want to work for you, but I don't plan to be here forever, I'm going to be honest with them and say, hey, look, I totally understand that. But I can also tell you that if you want to learn this business, it takes about 18 months to hit your stride. And in that time period, I want 110%. If you decide you want to leave after that, that's great. And that would also give me the opportunity, if I want to protect anything or do anything like that, we can do a non-compete, et cetera, et cetera. So
yeah,
I don't necessarily agree with the whole competition thing, but that's just my two cents.
Yeah, yeah, no, I appreciate that, man. Thank you for sharing that. So you said October 2019, that was right around the time that you decided to join Ascend, right?
Yeah, because I think you did the podcast with Steve Cook one time, and then I did the 3-day Life and Air get a life event, and then joined at the event with all of the same 30-day period.
Talk to me about that, because you know, your decision to exit, you know, an existing company, you were making money, but you know, you had this itch to go off and do this on your own. You had that confidence. That's a pretty big move. You know, talk to me about your decision to, you know, when you start a company, you got money that you got to spend, right? Whether it's marketing or whatever the case might be. And then you chose to make not an insignificant investment in yourself to join a mastermind and get a coach. What was your mindset behind ultimately deciding to invest in yourself as it relates to, you know, now you're on your own. Now you're starting, you know, your real estate business and you're not working for somebody else.
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. And it was an easy decision. So at that time, I've never been a volume guy. It's always been a quality kind of thing. So at that time, you know, just to put it in perspective, you know, and I don't like talking about the revenue thing, but I was doing 450 grand, 435 grand, somewhere around there, in assignment fees for that organization in a year.
Okay.
And that's closings, right? So like in order to get to that point, it was like 19 or 20 contracts. And that means you have a decent amount of fall off from there, right? So, and I'm doing acquisitions and dispositions. So anyway, me and my wife, we went to go visit a friend in California, and the entire trip, I was just taking phone calls. And we were sitting at the sunset on the in Encinitas, and it was like the last day there, and Casey was like, hey, you know, if we're going to do this, like our whole thing's about traveling and you weren't here the entire time. Like, and I was bragging at lunch. We're all sitting at lunch and I just closed the deal where I was going to make 28 grand. Yeah, just closed the deal, 28 grand. But like everybody else was just talking about other stuff and I was not present whatsoever.
Yeah.
And so anyway, she said, hey, if you know, we're going to do this, you know, you got to figure this thing out. Like you can't be on your phone next time we travel. Like you can't bring your phone or anything. So, you know, it kind of sat with me for a while. And then I read the Life in Air book and I was like, okay, there's something to this. I need to figure out, you know, what I want my life to look like and all that kind of stuff. And then I actually got Casey the Audible, thinking like she'll never listen to it. She thinks it's some real estate thing. And she loved it. She like loved the entire Audible. And I was like, damn, okay. So I was trying to convince her like how I wanted to live my life as far as financially and stuff, but I wasn't really good at communicating it. So we went to the Get a Life event. And at the event, she was the one that was like, we're doing this. And I was like, all right, that was an easy sell. I didn't have to do anything.
Very cool.
So that was that journey.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I've seen you guys, obviously, Casey's an awesome person as well. And I've had the opportunity to coach her. And what's been really cool is that, you know, that's why I think this podcast maybe is a little bit different than some of the others out there, is that it's not just X's and O's and strategies and techniques on how to make more money and generate more leads, et cetera, et cetera. That stuff is all important. But man, when our relationships are strong, when the home life is good, when the other areas of our life that are even more important than just business, when that's kind of in alignment, this thing called business is just a lot easier, dude. You know, and I think that's why hopefully I'm trying to bring that message more to our space and to the industry, is that like, listen, there's a season and a time. Who said it? I'd love to give the person credit. I heard somebody say, hustle should be a season, not a lifestyle. Mm. And I was like, wow, man. And I'd love to give that person credit, because like, I'm like, that's a good quote. You know, everybody like glorifies the hustle and the grind. And that's important. There's times in your life when you got to get after it. But what good is building a big business, making a bunch of money, if your relationships suck, if your health is suffering, and you're on vacation, which is meant to disconnect and have fun, and all you're doing is just trying to close a deal the whole time and you're not present. And as you're listening to me speak right now, I've been there before. I was Josh. I have been in that position. So I think everybody can probably relate to just being about business and not being present with our loved ones.
100% agree, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so talk to us about, let's talk about your business today. You're in the Philly market. You, yep. You focus primarily on wholesaling. Right now, what is working for you in your business from a marketing perspective, from a converting, you know, leads to deals? That's one of the things that people always reach out and they want to find out. What they're really looking for is, hey, what's the shiny bullet, right? They're looking for like, what's the latest and greatest marketing strategy? And like, so I'm just going to let you answer, but you tell me what's working for Josh Bacon, what's working for you and your business in the Philly market.
Dude, I have the best silver bullet. You ready?
Talk to me.
All of the marketing works.
There you go.
You know, look, man, I kind of said it earlier, consistency is the number one thing. Obviously, I took your advice last year. I was just solely doing direct mail last year. And, you know, my cost per deal, cost per lead, everything was just skyrocketing at that time. And then COVID hit and I was just like, I got to do something else other than just direct mail. And, you know, you put me on to texting, and I've been using texting ever since. Now, I'm not saying I've stopped direct mail. I've gotten smarter with my direct mail. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
So texting has been my bread and butter. You know, I know my, you know, how many texts I need to get out and, you know, what the cost per deal is via text and all that kind of stuff. You know, but the hardest part about texting was I was equating it to direct mail, right? In direct mail, you know, you send out 10,000 mail pieces, you get, you know, 50, 60 calls, half of them are pound sand, leave me alone. Out of the half that are remaining, you know, half of those are FSBO. And then out of the quarter that's left, you know, those are the people that you can do business with and you might pick up one or two, three of those. I was thinking those ones were going to be like my best contacts. Like, you know, when they call, they need it. But with texting, it's totally different. It's a totally different follow-up process. It's a longer follow-up process because you don't have as much credibility because you've sent somebody a cold text and, you know, yeah, they kind of think it's scammy. So that took me a while to learn. Like, I got to follow up with these folks 2-3 weeks before they actually like want to see me. But yeah, texting's been a great investment. You know, you do have to send some volume in order to get some deals. So like for me right now, it takes me 492 text messages to get a quality lead, you know, if it's just somebody that's like, yeah, I'll sell you my house, that number is like 270, somewhere around there.
I'm kind of like, if anybody catches the video version of this, I'm kind of like smiling because I remember not that long ago when you just didn't even have a grip on your KPIs, right? The key performance indicators. Here you are on a podcast just spitting, hey, 400, like you just, you know your numbers, you've reverse engineered the process, you've taken the time to figure that out. I've seen your Google Doc, your spreadsheet of how you track your numbers. What's been the importance of knowing your numbers, tracking your KPIs, and what result has that had on the bottom line for you?
Yeah, I had a really good coach. I don't know who that guy is. No, seriously, we had a conversation last year and you were asking me all these questions and I'm like, bro, I don't even know what you're saying. So, you know, then we had the conversation about getting your numbers down. And then I stole some data from Terry and Kristen and, you know, they were pretty operationally sound. So I used their spreadsheet and started tracking my numbers and then started realizing like at one point last year, I was doing small deals because I was trying to restrict the marketing, but I was only going to the lower priced neighborhoods. So like it didn't make sense for me to do direct mail there versus now I know like I can text wherever. It doesn't matter because if you do a small deal via text, it only costs me $1,100. That's texting plus the data to do that deal. So I'll take a $5,000 deal. Like I don't love doing those, but I'll take one versus if it's a direct mail deal, you know, it costs anywhere from, you know, $3,500 to $4,500 to get that deal. You can't take those. So, you know, being focused on the numbers, letting me know, but it also calms me down. That's a big thing that I didn't realize at the time. Like I was stressing out thinking, oh my God, it's not working. It's not that, because I'm like expecting this big volume of leads, right? But it starts calming me down when I realize like, bro, you haven't sent enough text messages. Keep texting. You're going to get the deal. So that was a huge help.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know what part of the theme I'm really gleaning from the show is consistency. It boils down to you just being like, you're very methodical in your approach to this business and it's strategic. You're not just kind of like, you're not like a gunslinger. You know what I mean? You're not just like throwing stuff against the wall. You're very methodical and purposeful in how you approach this. And it shows in the results, man. So yeah, dude, congratulations on the success. Like I said earlier, you're far from a finished product. Can't wait to continue to see your growth and maturation as a man, as an entrepreneur, as a real estate investor. And what I'll end this particular show with is what you guys don't know is, you know, not now that I've had the opportunity to work with Josh and Casey for well over a year, I've seen many ascenders, you know, within our community. They're drawn to you. And it's almost like you're kind of a coach with like Steven, and we don't have any other coaches, but it's kind of like people also go to you for coaching and for advice. And I'm not just talking one or two people. There's been multiple people like your name. I shared this with you at our last retreat, how it's like, dude, I love the fact that you've made yourself so available and that you've really leveraged one of the main benefits of joining a mastermind community is the fact that you build meaningful, deep relationships and you're a giver. Like you're there to genuinely help people. And I don't know what that's done for you in your business and like how that's maybe helped you, but I can just see how much of a giver you are from your perspective. Dude, why do you think that is? Because multiple people like go to you and dude, who's this bacon guy when they first join Ascend? And like they call you and you get on the phone like and you help them, you know, and it makes a difference. Lee, who is going to be the next guest on the show here, is one of those guys, you know, that connects with you pretty often and he's always singing your praises as well. So,
you know what, man? Yeah. So you said, why does that happen?
I'm curious from your perspective. Like, I realize it's kind of a general, vague question because there's so many different directions we could go in with this. But from your perspective, why do you think that is? Like, why do you feel people are drawn to you and want to come? Because you started this business in 2016. It's not like you've been doing this for 30 years. Obviously, you've experienced success pretty quickly in most people's eyes. But why do you think it is that people go to you and are drawn to you and ask you for advice and, you know, opinions and things of that nature?
Well, first and foremost, it is a unique, interesting position to be in because sometimes like Anthony and Terry, I'm in a group text with those guys and they've been doing it way longer than me, done way more deals than me. And like, I almost feel like I'm not in a position to give them my advice, but I do just because I believe personally two things. One, when I tell somebody something, it reinforces that I know what the hell I'm doing, right? So for me, that's the first thing. And then the second thing is I have no problem telling somebody like, hey, this is what I did and I completely bombed and messed up and I shouldn't have done it. You're asking me this question. This is how I would do it. And this is why I'm doing it this way moving forward. But I think, you know, I think the reason that people may gravitate towards me, this might just be me in general, is I kind of tend to be an open book, right? I don't really hold back. I kind of shoot you straight. And if you like it, great. If you don't, I apologize. I didn't mean to offend you, but that's kind of how it is.
Yeah, I absolutely love it, dude. I love it, man. Well, brother, thank you for the time, man. Where can people connect with you? Maybe if anybody is doing business in Philly or thinking of doing business in Philly. I know you've done some JV deals with some of our other members in and around. So how do people connect with you?
Yeah, so Instagram is bringing home the bacon, space between each word, spelled out 100%, bringing home the bacon. That's yep. Instagram. You can actually call my number and I'll give it out. And
you sure you want to do that?
Yeah, it's the receptionist, so it doesn't matter. It's 484-928-0200. It is a recorded number. And, you know, if you have a question, just say, hey, I was calling to speak to Josh. You know, ask them, give me a call back, and they'll ask you, you know, what do you want? And then you go from there.
Very cool. Well, guys, the good news for those of you listening and or watching this is we're not done with Josh. We're actually going to record. This is episode 506. We're 507. We're going to come back with Josh. I'm going to be introducing like new segments that are going to be like quick nuggets, quick tips, you know, some of Josh's best stuff, maybe that we didn't cover on the show today. So I'm actually going to feature that on episode 506. So make sure you, I'm sorry, 507. Make sure that you tune into 507 so that you can get, even though they're called quick nuggets, I'm going to go with bacon bits. Because every time we're at a mastermind retreat, obviously his last name is Bacon. This dude is just, he and his wife are always dropping bacon bits, man. Things that people are picking up. It's like, wow, that's really good. So make sure to tune into episode 507. Really appreciate you guys supporting the show, subscribing, sharing this with others. For those of you who have taken the time to leave a rating and review, genuinely appreciate it. I trust that you gained a lot of value and perspective from Josh and his journey. Make sure to connect with him on IG at Bringing Home the Bacon. And then you can call him again, 484-928-0200. So my friend, I will connect with you on the next one. Josh, you and I will probably be speaking very soon. I know I'll be seeing you in West Palm at the next retreat, man. So looking forward to seeing you and Casey soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on, man. I really appreciate this, Alex. Thank you.
All right. Have a great one. One last thing before you go. If you have been listening to the show for a while and or you have been getting value from the show, I would be 100% honored if you would share this show with a friend. Or maybe share it with somebody that you think could benefit from this. It's my mission, it's my cause, it's my purpose through Flip Empire to impact and touch people's lives and in their businesses. So it would be an honor if you would be willing to share this episode. And one last thing, make sure that you're subscribed so that you get notified every Monday and Thursday when shows get released. I look forward to connecting with you on the next one. Until then, have a great day.